association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 107 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
We've broken Adam already.
Hello, Ben.
Hello.
You seem more bothered than I am.
Congratulations.
You're not bothered.
Oh, yes, no, well bothered.
Aren't Ladbrokes lucky?
Yes, they are. really lucky.
They are.
For listeners who don't know, we should explain that Ben has got a job.
Yay!
Hooray! Happy about by the sounds of things.
I'm too tired to care about anything at the moment, to be honest.
Have you been working already?
No, I've been sleeping. That's why I'm tired.
So when do you start then?
Next Monday, actually.
Oh. Congratulations. I may need to say, with me today we've got Ben Shoveler. Reese Barton. Kirby Bartlett Sloan. And Robert Haynes.
And you're Adam Pearson.
Congratulations, everyone, right. So, yes, Ben, go on, impart or partake in, or whatever the other word is. Just tell us what you're going to be doing.
No one knows. I don't know. I've got no idea, really. I'm just going to go and work for Ladbrokes and do lots of stuff. Maybe put some bets on occasionally. Maybe be a jockey in the horse racing to try and swing the bet one way or the other.
You'd break the horse.
I would break it. No, not if it's a really big, fat horse. It'll be all right. Really big, fat, slow horse. And a tall one. With me so far behind. No, I'm going to be doing producing for their radio station thing.
So it's audio related. Bit like what you do now, but only... doing sort of
professional
and doing the sort of the difficult sort of, you know, the more sort of work orientated end of it.
I wouldn't call it difficult. I just it's not that tricky doing production. Seriously, you just gotta be brilliant like me.
I mean, oh yes.
Congratulations, Ben. I hope we will obviously say that your days off are a bit not quite the same day every week, so
it
won't be the last we see of you, hopefully.
No, well, you know, I'll pop up from time to time. I'll be like Freema Regiment in series 4. there'll be the odd mention, and then I'll pop up occasionally.
So what's your day off next week, then?
No idea. Not Monday.
Damn.
Well, for old time's sake, we got audio from Ian Kirk.
Oh, Kirky! Yeah.
Captain!
This is Captain. Ian Kirk. Hello to Adam. Hello to his minions.
Hello, eh?
Tilt and Claw by Russell T. Davies. The acting by the guest cast was very good. The Doctor's a bit goofy. The Scottish Kung Fu was a bit much. The Doctor calls himself James McCrimmon, who was a Scottish companion in the classic series. TARDIS.wikia.com says that Pauline Collins, who plays Queen Victoria, was offered the part of a companion in the classic series, but declined. We get the founding of Torchwood and a reference to the Rose-Bad Wolf connection. Yeah. I had forgotten she became Dame Rose of the Powell Estate. I would not like those servants' jobs, boiling all that smelly mistletoe, but I suppose it keeps the wolf from the door. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Excellent.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
What more can you say about that? Obviously not.
Well, he was right.
Well, we'll move on to more details about his comments and indeed Tooth and Claw a little bit later on in the show. But we have some more audio feedback.
Oh, excellent.
From, well, you all know when I play it.
This is the Galactic Exchange. You have a message. Connecting you now.
This is Jim the Fish calling the 20 Megabyte Podcast. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have been searching the Subspace Network for any information I can find on the new series of Doctor Who. And what I have discovered is astounding. In the new series, Stephen Moffat is going to...
What are you doing?
I'm recording something for the 20 Megabyte Podcast. Why don't you say hello?
In here?
Yes, here.
Okay. Hi, I'm Natasha.
And what exactly have you been doing in the kitchen?
I was making pizza.
But there isn't any cheese.
Yes, there is. In that container, in the fridge.
Not the flask marked highly dangerous, containing an organism that, under no circumstances, should be exposed to a source of food.
Like a pizza base?
Or a source of heat.
Like a microwave? Oops.
Well, 20 megabiters, it looks like I won't be able to tell you that exciting news. As I have to fight a deadly pizza. So until the next time, this is Jim the Fish. And Natasha, the great audio feedback saboteur, signing out.
Bye.
No pizzas were harmed well done, in the making of this message. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Jim the Fish.
Well done.
Absolutely superb. Excuse me, got a bit of a cough. Yes, yeah, so Alicia can't be on the show today because she's doing...
Oh, no.
She's eating a pizza.
No, she's doing regal duties down at the co-op where they're trying to raise money for Cow's Carnival, so she's bagpacking, giving her time up on her holiday to bagpack for free to raise money for Cow's Carnival. So, and apparently they're...
Did she get the £500 yet?
On Friday they did it, and they got about a quarter of the way. Yesterday they...
Excellent.
No, sorry, Saturday they did it. They got a further third of the way, and they're hoping that today it will be enough to reach the target, but it appears that they...
£6 on Thursday, that's good.
No, I don't know.
What about the money?
Lynn, who runs Cow's Carnival, didn't actually... tell us how much they took, but she was very happy, especially, and she was overwhelmed that people of Cows were throwing £10 notes in buckets, during this.
You have £10 notes on the Isle of Wight?
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole, island's economy?
Bank of Scotland ones, I believe. So, yes, thank you to the people of Cows for helping Cows Carnival raise the money they needed to get the girls' dresses. Hopefully that will be the case by the time this episode goes out. Now, Isabella is pestering or is pestering... I can't speak. Let's try again. Isabella is pestering me again. Yes, Isabella, as if I really need to ask you why you're pestering me. What? Do you want me to put a film on or something? Because I'm not going to be opening this up now. Because you need... pretty sure it says adult supervision. Not super children under age, 36 years, choking hazard, small parts, etc., etc.
36 years?
Oh, yeah, sorry, ooh, months. please wait. Stop doing the waterworks again. Wait. Ooh. I haven't got time for it at the moment. Don't do that face.
Put you out of nappy.
Ow! Don't hit me! Ow! Hitting me.
To be fair, she's only doing what we'd all do if we're in the same situation.
Honestly, I would not. Hitting me will not get you anywhere. Apart from it.
On the north.
I know you want to play it now. I can see that. Can you stop marking my carpet with your tears? Right.
I'm going to miss this.
I'm sure you'll find someone just like it.
I'm talking to them. What? I know you do. Right, can I get on now? Anyway, onwards. There's more feedback, funny enough.
That was heartbreaking.
I know. Oh, I'm still using the wrong computer.
It was just like my mirror on Saturday afternoon when me and the missus took her around to her granny's to play on the tenpin bowling on the Wii. And for some reason, the first time ever, the wife did quite well on it and got like 200, and I got 220, and then Mia got 175, which wasn't enough for her, even though she's only five. And she threw herself on the floor and burst into tears.
Yeah, I recognise
that.
So the
next game, I decided, even though I had been made up to a professional, I'd got up to that 1,000-point mark, I threw the game so that Mia wouldn't be upset.
That's precisely.
The wife still decided to play as hard as she could and won.
That's precisely what I did on a game that we were playing. What was the game we were playing, Isabella, the other day? Me and you were playing a game, weren't we? It was one of those old-fashioned games that doesn't involve computers. It was Doggy Doo Doo, wasn't it? Doggy Doo, where a dog, basically a dog does a poo and you've got to catch the poo in a scooper.
Yeah, I saw the video.
Yes, I've done a video of it. We were playing that game and I was winning and, of course, she couldn't accept that.
You were pooing in more things than she was.
So I basically had to throw the game so she won to stop her from
quizzing. So you started throwing poo?
Oh, stop it. There you go. Off you go. It's open now.
I don't know what goes on in your house, really, Adam. But seriously, it's a strange way to bring up children. I'll give you that much. Hey, kids, let's play with poo.
No, it's doggy do. It's
not
real
poo.
Let's
throw it around the room and see who gets to clear it up later.
Well, that wasn't my choice to get it for her anyway. Anyway, we have this email from some chap called Brandon.
So you buy your daughter games where you've got to throw doggy poo around?
No, you don't throw it. The dog does the poo. You capture the poo in a scooper. And the first one to three captures of scoops of poo wins. Now, Magic and Star don't get involved because they're real dogs.
They don't poo?
No, they do definitely poo, especially Magic.
Oh. I'll be back in a minute. I'm just calling Child Services.
Look on YouTube. This is the 20 megabyte YouTube channel.
Put it on YouTube?
When we were playing it at Christmas, it brought great hilarity. And there is a YouTube video of my wife playing Doggy Doo.
Playing with dog poo?
On YouTube. That's a game called Doggy Doo. You have a look on YouTube. 20 megabyte channel.
I'm not going to look on YouTube, but I certainly am going to be directing the police in that direction. And I don't mean sting.
I knew you were going to say that. Anyway, right. This is from Mr. M. Hello, teams. So it's time for the Mr.
Hold
M.
Hold on a minute. The wife just said, I'll just get on with the show.
That's what I'm trying to do. What now? What?
Daddy, I want to throw poo around
God's
again.
Sake. What do you want me to do? Put that in.
Throw it
in. Where? I don't know what how you do it.
Put it back in. You can't put it back in
when
it's come out.
Well, nor do I. That's what I'm trying to say. Play it when I've got time to look at it. It obviously needs batteries. Okay? Just have a play with that as it is, and then when I've got time, don't take the lid off, otherwise that juice will go everywhere. Can I get on with the blooming...
Is it poo juice?
No, this is the thing she's got. She's got a new game that involves blowing smelly bubbles around the house. It's a little bubble-making machine, and it blows bubbles, but they're different between these bubbles. Normal bubbles, so they smell of strawberries.
Like doggy do.
Strawberry and blueberry.
Strawberry and blueberry, right. So can you go and let the dogs in before they make too much noise? Right. Anyway, as I was saying, this is from Mr. M. He says, so it's time for the Mr. M Podcast Awards. Before we begin... Can I stop burping? So it's time for Mr. M's Podcast Awards. Before we begin, I have to say that I thank you to everyone who voted. That was just me and Reese.
Did you vote as well? I did too.
You voted for yourself. It doesn't count.
It does count. It's still a vote.
I was completely overwhelmed with the response, so thank you. Section one, the podcast.
What, three votes? Is that overwhelming?
You won't be overwhelmed by the results. Best female podcaster, the nominations were...
Reese.
Fake
Barty.
Keith.
Reese.
Sorry, the nominations
I'm
were...
I'm saying
fake,
nothing. You can pee again.
No, fake, wait till you get
will you be quiet?
Speech. Wait for your acceptance speech, then you can say something.
Best female podcaster, the nominations were Fake Keith,
Ben Chandler,
Alicia Pearson, Vicky Walters, Gene Ridler, and the winner is...
Me.
Fake
Ben
Keith.
Chandler.
Fake Keith won that one. Not happy with these results.
I couldn't be more...
Congratulations.
Congratulations. The best male podcast, the nominations were Adam J. Purcell, Real Keith, Ben Shoveler, and Dave Keep. And the winner was... Dave Keep.
Fixed. And also incredibly wrong. This is like the Smash Hits Awards where 13-year-olds vote for things and they pick the wrong things, like the Brit Awards. What a ridiculous...
You're calling Adam a 13-year-old?
That's why I'm leaving. What? Are you talking about 13-year-olds? I said... what?
Anyway, best podcast presenter, the nominations were Siobhan Galachon.
Who?
Adam Pearson.
Oh, I know him.
Reese Partum.
What?
What? And the winner is Siobhan Galichon.
Yeah, these are just names that mean absolutely nothing to me.
Excuse me,
it's like
I
an awards ceremony
names, made
up. But the best curtains awards go to the ones in my front room, the ones in my bedroom, or the ones in the kitchen. And the winner of the best curtain goes to the one in my bathroom. There we go. That's, this is what this is like.
You don't know,
it means nothing, and I'm as interested. But carry on. I didn't
Thank
win,
you.
So I don't care.
This year, the award for the best new podcast of spring up around the last year was the DWO Torchcast. Best podcast award will be at the end of the email, apparently. Section 2, the show. Best companion of the series was Rory Williams. Best guest actress, Saran Jones.
Wouldn't that be Rory Bund?
No, Williams. Best guest actor goes to Mark Shepherd. Most wanted return goes to Madame Vastra. Best writer, Neil Gaiman. Best villain, Madame Kavarian. Best monster, The Silence. Best Series 6 episode, The Girl Who Waited. Best SJA Series 5 episode, Curse of Clyde Langer. I have to go with that. And best Torchwood Miracle Day episode for Escape to LA. Section 3, Best ever series of Sarah Jane Adventures, Series 4. Best ever companion, Amy Pond. I don't think so. Best ever Doctor, Matt Smith. Oh dear.
What?
Yes.
And now for Mr. M Award for outstanding contribution to podcasting. This is a special award given by Mr. M himself to the best of the best in the podcast world.
I'd like this to say year's... thank you very much for my award.
Me too.
This year's award goes to...
It's a pleasure.
Dun, dun, dun.
Stop flapping your ears during that blooming announcement.
That was so well timed.
Sorry. Reese Parton.
What?
Congratulations, Reese.
Thank you.
These awards get worse by the minute.
Hang on.
They got this guy called Ben Shoveler on the list.
Who makes
that?
These up?
He goes on to say he's a man who's always on a podcast for almost every single day.
He's 14 or something. That doesn't qualify him.
For almost every single day of the week. If someone tried to listen to all of Reese's podcasts, he does
They'd
per week.
They'd be very, very bored.
they wouldn't have time for
Stop
to sleep.
Stop talking about yourself, Ben.
So how he does it himself is beyond us mere mortals knowledge. So here's the award to keep him going. Podcasting. Now.
Got time for a girlfriend.
The big one.
Thank you, Mr.
Best Podcast Award. For the total, wait for it, 60 votes going into this category alone. There was just one vote in the end. The nominations were Staggering Stories, Flash and Blade, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, and DW Who Cast. I'm quite glad that we were actually one of the four nominated. And he can reveal that the winner is Staggering Stories.
Aww.
Yay!
Aww. Congratulations.
Yes, for the second year running. El Presidente and his mighty minions have done it again. Congratulations. So that's the awards over another year. A huge thank you to all the voters. And for a further note of congratulation to Fake Keith from Staggering Stories, whose name was pulled out from the metaphorical blat, I don't know what that says, this morning. And she has become winner of Doctor Who, the Time Traveller's Almanac. Mr. M will return in a few weeks' time with some stats and facts about the awards, and then Mr. M will be taking a short break real life and stuff. However, in the meantime, keep listening to all these wonderful podcasts. He, of the awards, a.k.a. Mr. M. Thank you, Mr. M. Not thank you for not giving us any of the awards. I know it was voted for by generally the podcast listening public.
But, award, not part of the show.
But thanks anyway for your efforts.
Congratulations, Reese.
Yeah, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Robert.
Congratulations, Reese.
I'm sure I'll mention you when I get high up to the radio presenter level of my life.
Speaking of awards, do you know what Hugo Award is?
Hugo Award? I've heard of this. Go on.
The Hugo Award is...
Strange man wearing a really...
No... Now, the Hugo Award is given out at the World Science Fiction Convention every year.
Yes.
And this coming year, it's the 70th World Science Fiction Convention. It's not the 70th year for the Hugo Award. I think they started in the 50s. The nominees just came out. And half the stuff, lots of it is for short stories and stuff, which half of it actually... 90% of the stuff I've not read, but they also give out awards for best dramatic presentation.
Don't tell me we got that award, did we?
Best Dramatic Presentation. Short form.
That's just me.
Of the nominees for the Best Dramatic Presentation short form for this year are The Doctor's Wife, The Girl Who Waited. Huh?
Yep.
And The Good Man Goes to War.
Yeah. Plus, there's the acceptance speech for a Hugo Award last year, and something called Remedial Chaos Theory from Community, which I haven't seen.
Right.
But I strongly suspect that The Girl Who Waited will win.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Yep, I think you could be right there. I have some more feedback, but it's not audio.
Do I take it we're going to edit out the entirety of the show so far and actually start when it gets good?
If the feedback's not audio, how are we going to... I'm just going to listen to silence?
I'm going to read it out.
You're not going to read it?
I'm reading it. Well, I'm going to read it.
Kirby.
Here we go.
Okay.
Tooth and Claw is from Ewan McLeod. Hello, Ewan. Tooth and Claw was the first episode of Doctor Who I ever watched, so I thought I'd send in a quick comment on it as a regular listener to your show. It rattled on at a breakneck pace, unmatched by any episode we've seen before or since, really.
A breakneck pace?
Yes, all right. This is his opinion. Indeed, RTD, in his book, that it was overrunning. Sorry, he said in his book that it was overrunning. Sorry, Isabella's just sitting on my lap. Don't kick off any cables, will you? Right. They just cut out every pause and beat. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And indeed, I have not missed an episode since. Also, your recent debate on the worst Doctor Who producers got me thinking. If you could choose a writer to take over from Stephen Moffat when he leaves, who would you pick? My personal choice is Gareth Roberts. He captures the essence of the Doctor's character brilliantly. Keep up the good work, Ewan McLeod. Good question.
Toby Whithouse.
But does it always have to be a writer? I mean, why can't they go back to the old days when they just used to have a producer and they used to just have writers in to do the thing? Obviously, they did have a writer as a script editor.
Because it saves time and they can write episodes themselves.
But I mean, if you're going to pick a writer... If you're going to pick a writer, I mean, a regular writer that's been doing it over the last few years, Gareth Roberts wouldn't be a bad shout. But, I mean, you're looking at people like Paul Cornell, who are TV producers.
Yes,
Toby Whithouse, TV producer.
Toby Whithouse, I'd say.
Yeah. So,
Gatiss.
Well, I don't know. Gatiss, I think, is going to be leaning more towards the Moffat style, I think, that he's very good mates with him, and I think he'd probably go down that road. And also, to be fair, Gatiss's episodes haven't been that good since the... What was the first one he did?
Isabella
doesn't...
Quite Dead.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, the Dickens one.
Mm. But, I don't know, my personal choice wouldn't be Mark Gatiss, it would be someone like Paul Cornell or Toby Whithouse. So, what do you think, then?
Toby Whithouse.
Okay.
Yeah,
Mark Gatiss. That sounds good.
Okay, fair enough.
No, Paul Cornell, actually.
Okay. Right, so thank you, Ewan. It's nice to get some feedback from somebody who hasn't written to the show before. So it's nice to show us.
Thanks for listening.
We've got about 7 listeners now, which is good.
I thought it was 8.
According to Alicia...
Does that count us or not?
According to Alicia, who chuckled when with pride for her friend Ben getting his job, then said, of course, that when Ben leaves the show, all our listeners will also leave.
Oh.
That's true. I mean, no, they won't.
As I put on Facebook, Adam, not all the listeners are going to leave, just most of them.
Just the one.
I think that almost...
I have been panicked.
Yeah, that sort of ties up the feedback for this week. Thank you, everybody, for your comments. And if you wish to send in feedback to the show, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Yes, so that's it then. So, hello.
Adam.
Hello. No, it's not it. It's for feedback, it is. Yes, who said Adam? That must have been Mr. Roberts.
Me.
Haynes! Yes.
No, hey. I was just going through a Doctor Who magazine, and they just happened to be talking about New Earth. It was from February.
Yeah.
But it's only sort of arrived here, because by ship. But they were talking about New Earth.
Yes.
And... they have a bunch of 4 people who are going through the new series, a bit like us, really. And they were saying...
The chief.
a few things that we said, like, or like, basically you and me, said the teaser is surprisingly unexciting, isn't it? Talking about last week's New Earth. And the TARDIS interior has gone very green again. But they also were saying The Cure is one of the most ridiculous things I've seen in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But something just tickled me was, well, leave my wife out of that. You know, they're doing a review of the Unit Files box set. And they were saying, the Android Invasion turns out to be one of the most influential Doctor Who stories of the 1970s, or at least it captured the imagination of the 13-year-old Stephen Moffat like no other. Think about it. The story features sinister figures in spacesuits, android doubles of the Doctor and his friends, faces peering out from behind secret peepholes, outrageous plot twists involving eye patches and instantly forgettable monsters. All you have to do is add a pregnancy plot and you have the 2011 Matt Smith season.
So he's been ripping it off since he was 13 years old.
Yeah. Have you seen the Android Invasion, Bruce?
Nope.
Oh, that's a shame. That's one of my favourites.
Yeah. But it just goes to show you
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it? Oh, my God.
It goes to show you what we've been saying for the last 16 months, which is that Moffat's a rip-off.
Precisely, but this is just...
The 70s.
This is just confirming what we've been talking about, though. Other people have been noticing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it just does go to show that he's not actually therefore that good, doesn't it? Mm. You know, I mean, the whole of the series has been inspired by one... story,
yeah.
Which is not really. I think the word inspired would be the wrong word there. I think copied is probably more than likely.
Ben,
yeah, mate.
I will tell you something though.
We'll go on.
You have a look at some celebrated Doctor stories, for example, Brain of Morbius.
Yeah.
Really, for Frankenstein.
Oh yeah.
Planet of Evil.
That, but that doesn't give us the chance to slag off Stephen Moffat if we talk about them, does it?
No. I've just noticed something on the.
So that's about as interesting as some other chap I don't know called Keith the Fish or something winning a podcast award that quite clearly should have gone to me.
Keith the Fish, wasn't that real, Keith?
What, the underwater podcasting one?
Oh, hang on a second,
Keith was in there.
I just noticed something on our Facebook group that says, is this the best podcast? And we've actually got more votes than Staggering Stories, Who Is the Man, TARDIS Tavern and Flashing Blade and DWO Torchcast, actually. In fact, we've got
three of those votes are from you, Kirby and Robert. That don't count.
Yes, they do.
Excuse
me, MPs are allowed to vote for themselves in elections.
Absolutely right. Yes. Be my point.
No. I'm guessing though that other podcasters' page have that on theirs as well.
Surely we must have won on that basis.
Anyway, right, we're going to be talking about the charts, Ben.
Yeah.
I think I was thinking of retiring the charts if you're not going to be able to do them anymore. I didn't see the point of doing the blooming things. But as you're here now,
I'll carry on doing them.
You can do them separately.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Well, while you do the charts, I'm going to try and sort out Isabella's bubble problem.
Faster.
So
why don't you get Reese to do the charts from now on?
Could do. Yeah. I was trying to get out of doing them, but no. You can do them from now because obviously you need to get into the practice of doing such things. So you do charts. I do bubbles. See you in a minute.
Okay. You'll do bubbles.
Leave bubbles out of this.
I'm sure that's what Michael Jackson's been heard saying once or twice.
I know.
You see, comedy people, that's what you miss when I'm not here. I'm just trying to remove a bit of chocolate from in between the caps lock and A key on my laptop. rather concerning me, that. I think it might have melted. That's
spraying
everywhere.
Cue the music. There we go. Okay. That's just now pushed it between the A and the semicolon. That's not good. Anyway. The charts. Oh, no. Where's the charts gone? I had them.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. The charts have been lost. Oh, no, they haven't. I found them again. Okay. At number 30, it's a re-entry for Tim's Take On. At 29...
Take On what?
take on Doctor Who, I guess, considering he's...
Take on me.
Adam!
Talking away.
It's a re-entry. Talking away. How apt. 29, a re-entry for Telos AM. And at 28, a re-entry for the Cultdom Collective. 27's up 3 for Future Time Lord. And at 26, it's up 2 for The Whostorian. 25's a re-entry for Sonic Toolbox. 24's a re-entry for The Cloister Room. And 23's up
3. Hold on.
Vortex.
The Sonic. Okay. Go on.
22, I'd like a sound effect for the Untempered Schism.
Hold on.
Yeah, that'll do.
You hear that?
Yeah, that'll do. That's acceptable. And at 21, a re-entry for TARDIS Tavern, which is, of course, the first place the Beatles played. At number 19, a re-entry for Ian Todd's World of Podcasts. And at number 19, a re-entry for the Time Vault. 18 is up 5 for Earth Station 1. And at 17, a re-entry for Bigger on the Inside. 16's up 6 for 2 Minute Time Lord. And at 15, a re-entry for Crossover Adventure Productions. That's a catchy title, isn't it? What can we call our podcast out of everything? All the words of the world, what should we call it?
Crossover Adventure.
All the words of the world.
Yes.
Number 14's a re-entry for Arrow of Time. And at 13, for Bad Wilf. 12 is up 6 for Sound on Sight, and at 11, down 1 for Doctor Who, Who's He? Number 10...
I don't know, who is he?
Yeah.
Well, we might find out one day, we never know. It might be the secret reveal.
They keep asking the question, though, don't they?
They do, and it might be revealed in the 50th anniversary special. Just throwing that one out there. Where did we get to? Number 10 is a re-entry for The Naked Scarf. Number 9, it's down 1 for Mostly Harmless Cutaway. And at number 8, back up a massive 4 places for the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast!
Number 8?
Yeah. Better than we were last week at 12.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think that's probably been our average position in the time I've been doing the chart. So, you know, 8 is pretty good. But, you know, we can't help it if idiots will listen to other podcasts, can we? And there you go, insult the people who are listening. Number 7, it's up 10 places for the Pharos Project. Number 6...
Pharos.
Number 6 is a re-entry for the Amiga Podcast. Number 5, it's up 1 for the Memory Cheats. And number 4, it's up 3 for Impossible Podcasts. Number 2, it's up 1 for the DWO WhoCast. Number 2, down 1 for Radio Free Scaro. And at number 1, up 1, the Ha! Doctor Who Podcast. It was my last chart, so I had to try and get it in there somewhere, didn't I? Oh,
that's what she said.
Ha ha ha! So hearty congratulations to all the other NAF podcasts that somehow managed to pay more people to listen to it than we do.
What are you paying?
I get paid by Adam.
Oh.
In dog poo.
And you give it to who?
Yes, I do give it to who. That's right. He comes around and picks it up every Thursday in his TARDIS.
Wonderful.
Hi.
Did you actually finish the charts?
Yeah, we finished the charts with minimal... I'll tell you what, should we do another chart as we've still got a bit of time? All right.
I didn't interrupt the charts that much. It was Robert.
Oh, very well, yeah. This is a chart because here in good old England today, in good old Blighty, it's a bank holiday. I don't know if it was anywhere else. I don't really care because I don't live anywhere else. But I have got a list of bank holidays in countries to see who has the most bank holidays or public holidays, as they're normally called, in different countries. Are we ready?
Yes.
In 8th place, with 8 public holidays, is the UK and Netherlands.
Oh, that's not on.
In 7th place, with 9 public holidays, it's Canada, Ireland and Germany.
Oh, Canada!
Yeah. In 6th place, with 10 public holidays, it's Australia, Finland,
Mike.
Belgium and America.
What?
In 5th place, with 11 public holidays, it's France, Italy, Brazil, and New Zealand. In fourth place, with 12 public holidays, probably adding to the factors why their economy is crumbling, it's Greece and South Africa.
Don't they work?
Never. They have a turn off as well.
In Spain, though.
No, it's siesta time. No, that's Spain, isn't it?
Yeah, they're still to come. In third place, with 13 public holidays, is Portugal and Austria. In second place, with 14 public holidays, is Malta and Spain, where every day's a holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Top of the pile, with a massive 15 public holidays a year, but they are all for Yang Hang Wang 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 Sang, is Japan and South Korea.
Yeah. I knew Japan would feature in there.
They have double the amount that we do.
So basically, all of Japan are school teachers.
That's over one a month.
So are they all school teachers?
You're picking on school teachers again. People always do that at school teachers.
They get a lot of holiday.
I know.
Good on them. Right. Yeah. Okay, so...
You guys carry on. I've got to step away for a few minutes.
That's why he's stepping away. Darling.
There seems to be a dart in your room.
Kirby, step away from the computer.
Yeah, he's just tackling the Dalek. Yeah. So anyway, this week we're talking about an episode of Spockter Pugh called Tooth and Claw. Oh, sorry, Doctor Who called Tooth and Claw. Now, I've made some notes.
I'm just nipping out for a fact.
Oh, for God's sake. As soon as Dalek started doing the review, everybody disappears. What's the matter with you?
I'm still here.
I couldn't disappear during the charts, could I?
Well, I see why you wanted Reese to do it now. Okay.
No, I said Reese can take over from next week.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't want Ben to go.
Nah, you say
that. Nothing is fine. Are you sure we know where to go?
Hey.
I was crying.
Magic, what do you think about Ben going? Oh, he's just walked out of the room.
He's silent on the
message.
I suppose I could carry on with my notes. Yes, there's an episode of Tooth and Claw, which sort of began with some... I'm just having bubbles fired at me at the moment. With some
1970s kung fu film.
Ninja monks.
Kung fu fighting.
Took over the... Was it the sort of owner of the house that got done in at the beginning by the ninja monks.
No, it was the head gardener.
Oh, was it? He said, they say, we're going to take the house. And he says, would you like my wife as well?
Yeah, he's just joking along.
And then he said,
yes, please.
they took their hoodies off and were wearing a rather
They were hoodies. Strange weather. I always told you should watch those hoodies.
Red items, but
this guy's changed dress hoodies.
But this scene, they did the mid air pauses and the cameras moving around while they were sort of mid air and doing all this stuff.
Which is just an experiment.
Yeah, it was all right, I suppose.
It's unnecessary, really.
But
it just goes to show it sort of didn't set the tone for the episode, did it? It was
episode.
That's sort of, that's what I said.
Yes. Don't argue.
It's a bit more exciting than the start of last week's episode.
Oh, yeah.
What, New Earth?
Yes.
Yeah. Because they just got in the TARDIS after saying, fine, that was it.
Right.
Yeah, well, you've got to connect the episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway.
Okay, yep. I'm funny.
I found it funny just seeing... Now, I have to be careful with what words I use here, but in Australia, we call flip-flops thongs, and I just found it funny seeing their thongs or flip-flops when they were going up the stairs.
And, of course, in the TARDIS, the Doctor is playing Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick by Ian Dury and the Blockheads.
Died of cancer, didn't he?
He did. Rose, of course, then says that the Doctor's a bit of a punk. And the Doctor then wants to take Rose back to the 70s to see what
very
they were like.
Famous... concert.
Yeah, but unfortunately misses by 100 years, as the Doctor tends to do. Either the Doctor tends to do or the TARDIS does, so we haven't really established which is which, really. Of course, they arrive, and there's some soldiers there, and I like the line the soldier says, will you explain your presence and the nakedness of this girl? And I can probably imagine that Ben wasn't particularly pleased with the lack of nakedness of the girl in this particular.
Neither was I.
And then, of course, Tennant adopts his natural accent for a few syllables.
Yeah. It's a bit surreal, isn't it?
I seem to remember before this episode went out, there was talk that the Doctor would actually speak in a Scottish accent because people had seen, you know, parts of this one being filmed. As the rumour was getting out that he wasn't going to adopt an English accent. And this was obviously before the Christmas special went out. Can you?
Well, can I just say that because it was so windy there, they couldn't use the original audio they recorded on the hillside. So they had to dub it ADR. And David Tennant absolutely hates ADR, as you will tell from the
He always says that in the commentaries, confidential, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And commentaries, yeah. So he would have had a nightmare doing that.
Yeah, especially probably would have done.
But anyway, the time your lips.
They meet Queen Victoria.
You say things differently as well, don't you?
Yeah.
But can I pick on that scene?
You can.
When the TARDIS arrives, does that mean that those people are just waiting there, or what? Do they just come across the TARDIS?
I think they just come across it. Basically, they're sort of traveling through the downs, I suppose. I don't know what they're called in Scotland. The glens. I don't know. All that, and just some across the police box in the middle of nowhere. Yes, but anyway, they meet Queen Victoria, and then not long after meeting Queen Victoria, Rose then begins her attempts to get the Queen to say we are not amused.
Yeah,
which is a bit silly, but was okay, I suppose.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, so, and the Sir Robert, who's the house owner, is being blackmailed.
I like
Sir Robert. Oh, what now?
I'm not talking about you.
Nice one, Reese. Yeah, go on, Robert, sorry.
I'd like to be referred to as Sir from now on, please.
You want to be...
Yeah, good luck.
Anyway, he's being blackmailed by these sort of ninja characters, isn't he? They're all the house...
40s.
Yeah, all the house staff and, you know, hierarchy all now being sort of...
Oh, we've gotten around to talking about the episode, eh?
The cellar. They're all in the cellar. And a big box is sort of dragged into the cellar containing an animal, which, of course, in the pre-titler sequence, makes one of the women go, ah!
Is it larger and bigger on the inside?
Eh? No, if not.
No, because it was only a cage.
Yeah. Of course, then not long after that, we discover that the house is part of the Torchwood estate, which is a shame that none of the family...
My status, but since you guys... I wasn't here when you were discussing the opening scene. My status online all day yesterday was I was oot in a boot.
Hang on, I'm being attacked. Yes,
you're Canadian all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I said to you, if you run out, that'll do it, won't it?
Rose said that during
the
whole...
She did, yes.
But don't do that. No, just don't do that.
But anyway, where did we get up to? I was just thinking, with this estate being called the Torchwood Estate, it's a bit of a shame that the family weren't called Torchwood. Sort of tie it in a little bit. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Tom Torchwood.
Yes.
Do you like that? No.
Well, they get into the house, and in the observatory, the Queen mentions... about the wolf.
He was murdered with a candlestick by Professor
Yeah. No, she mentions about the wolf, and I wondered whether it was a bad wolf, because obviously later on there is a... Somebody sees the wolf, isn't it? Somebody sees the wolf in Rose.
You're a golf.
The wolf.
Yeah. It's the wolf.
Werewolf sees it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Their wolf.
Yeah. That's guards are dragged. Sorry, drugged.
Draggy here, guard.
The wolf himself, when he's in the cage as the human and is talking to Rose, he mentions to Rose that she has a bit of the wolf about her.
That's it.
Yes,
that I was referring to. These bubbles don't smell of anything, Isabella. You haven't got the other doodah in. It goes on the other side.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's another one that goes in that side.
Ooh,
she doesn't want that one. Okay.
That just sounds so wrong.
Anyway, the guards are drugged as Rose finds Flora in the wardrobe. And I thought that should be in the refrigerator, really, being that it's some sort of margarine. They are... See, you don't need Ben for comedy. There's me.
Yes, we do.
Seriously, you do.
If she found Flora, where was Fauna?
But they're quickly dragged away, and Rose and Flora are in the black with the black with the Black Eyed Man, not the Black Eyed Peas. That's a band from.
See, you definitely do need Ben, new help. Comedy. Yeah, that's the best you can do, Adam. You're in trouble.
And the rest of the house residents.
Good luck, podcasters.
Thank you. We need that luck.
Anyway, Rose asks the man where he is from. Does he? Does she? Oh, yeah, because he sort of speaks to her about, and she's trying to find out, she works out that he might be alien. But she gets a cryptic answer that nobody really understands, and does notice that there is something in, and he notices a wolf in the Isle of Rose, that's right, so the wolfy
also,
man.
Why didn't anyone else tied up behind Rose start saying, what are you talking about? What do you mean he's not of Earth?
True, yeah. Excuse me. Moonlight shines and the transformation begins. He sort of looks at them and moonlight shines on his face. Oh. What's the matter, baby?
No, we're talking about werewolves, not Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, well, you dip it in. It's running out. Well, not surprised, Isabella. You're using it all up. You want me to do it? Right.
That just sounds so
Bring the
wrong.
Bottle and the dipper in here without dropping anything, and that saves me having to get them.
Drinking.
Yeah, the doctor realises Rose must be caught up in all of it at some point when he realises that werewolves and stuff are involved somewhere along the line. And very quickly finds her in the cellar. And, of course, we find out also that the monks want the throne. Well, I'm sure there must be a toilet somewhere in the house.
Stop it.
Yeah. Game of Thrones.
It's not funny until you say stop it.
It's not funny.
Adam, aren't you glad Alicia's not here?
No. Anyway.
Have you thought about going on Britain's Got Talent, Adam, as a comedian?
Well, I think it'd be better than some of the comedians they've put on there. Anyway, so the doctor arrives to rescue everyone and looks at the werewolf and says, that's beautiful. The queen shoots Baldy, the main Baldy bloke.
That reminds me of that line later on to Robert, and I'm not talking about you, Mr. Robert.
Thank you, Rhys.
He says, didn't you notice my wife was away or something odd about my staff? And the doctor just says, well, they were bold and athletic, and your wife was away. I thought you were just having fun.
Of course, then there's various chase scenes and hiding scenes, and
music.
Excuse me. We can find out because the doctor works out that the creature is a lupine wavelength hemervarian. No, hang on, start again.
Thank you.
Lupine wavelength hemervariform. Hemervariform.
Rastafarian.
A lupine wavelength hemervariform. I thought I did quite well to make a note of that particular line, because I'm sure one of you lot was going to come out with that particular fact.
I wasn't planning to, no. Oh, wait, with that line.
No, that fact about what the werewolf actually is, the actual proper name was.
Well, that's Kirby's job.
Were you going to come out with that fact, Kirby, just as a matter of interest?
With what?
The fact.
What the werewolf actually was.
I would if I had it in front of me on Wikipedia, but I don't.
Grief. Anyway. Right, where'd I get up to? My screen's gone blank. The Queen notices the Doctor's intermittent accent and struggles to trust him.
Yeah.
In fact, her lack of trust in the Doctor is quite alarming, really, considering the Doctor saved everybody. I thought she was a bit...
not quite. All those men who were shooting at the werewolf, he didn't.
Well, he saved her.
Well, he kept on lying, didn't he, really?
Through his teeth.
Yes. Well, he always does. Discovers that Sir Robert's father used mistletoe wood. Is it mistletoe wood to deck out the furnishings?
Did he, Robert?
No.
My dad did not do that.
Didn't
honestly.
He? Oh, well, according to the Russell T. Davies, he did. The werewolf is allergic to this.
I didn't know you knew Russell T. Davies.
Robert. There you go. He knows my dad, obviously.
Wow.
Yes, it's very awkward. The Queen asks, because there's a great big diamond that then gets brought out, which doesn't look very diamondy. It's just like a lump of glass, but never mind. The Queen asks at the Coenor.
Co-op.
Yeah, Coenor. Is kept Co-op. Safe because she's worried about it. The doctor realises.
Talking about your work again,
a trap has been set up by Sir Robert's father and a couple of other people. Who were the other people?
I don't remember.
No, there was the whole thing is it's been set a trap to set to bring the werewolf to that house. So
yeah, because I like when he first came across the Queen's telescope and he's saying it's wrong, it's rubbish.
It did what?
You know, when he's first looking at the telescope, he says, this is all wrong, it's rubbish.
That's a bit like says, the 11th Doctor in Time of Angels.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so he realises that it's all big setup to try and get the Queen and the diamond and the wolf all in the same house at the same time. So he then gets the diamond, puts it in the telescope. The moon shines into the telescope.
He didn't put it in the telescope. He put it on the floor, didn't he?
I thought he put it in the telescope and that enhanced the light coming from the moon.
No, he throws it on the floor.
The telescope.
Oh, did he? Oh, well, right. he used the telescope, didn't he? Somewhere along the line.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the point I was
trying to make. Lined it up with the moon.
Yeah, sorry. Mm.
And then the crystal amplified that from shining on from
but
the
that's
floor.
At the end of the story.
Yes, that's where we got up to. So that shines. The wolf then attacks, just about to get the queen, but then the sort of light shines on the wolf, werewolf, and he sort of changes back into his...
Watch carefully during that scene, because the queen makes a sudden jump 3 feet, 3 or 4 feet to the left.
Your hands on your hips. You're bringing me to the ground. Where is the velvet ground? You're bringing us to insane. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's do the time on the air. Let's do the time on the air.
It's just a jump to the left.
Do you? Yeah.
And no.
Let's do the time warp again.
They show her standing. They moved her digitally.
Sorry, Kevin.
During the section where the werewolf is hanging there, he's about to explode.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he's gone, she's back to where she actually was. And there's
that has completely ruined that episode for me.
I'm gonna
have that
noticed
song
that.
Running through my head whenever I see that.
But anyway, the queen gets nicked by something rather, and the doctor's a bit worried. She's been bitten. She
a wolf.
Yeah, was it the wolf's teeth or was it the wolf's claws?
It was a piece of wood.
He said it was a splinter.
No,
though.
She said it was a splinter.
She did, but we can't believe that.
I can't believe what she says. Anyway.
No.
Sir Robert decided to give his life to just hold back the monster through.
Did you, Robert?
For a few moments.
I thought that was pretty stupid, though. I mean, he didn't really do anything, really, you know.
He stood there and shouted at the monster.
He stood there with a sword.
Yeah.
His own sword.
Yep. And got killed.
Yeah. Anyway, so he died. And the Queen...
I love how caring you are.
The doctor's a bit suspicious of the Queen's injury and thinks that she might... have contracted some werewolfiness about them, and when they're walking back to the TARDIS at the end of the story, after the doctor's been knighted, so she knights him for his honour, and then banishes him. So
she does what?
She knights him and then banishes him, so he's not allowed to go back to Earth again after that.
Does that mean that Captain Jack is disobeying orders later?
Yeah, well, he always did that anyway, didn't he?
I know.
He stole the TARDIS. He left Gallifrey.
Yep. So Queen. So she's got a finger. The Doctor's knighted the Banished. And then there's a speech about how bad they are, him and Rose, and how evil they are. Basically,
so awful.
And then finally, the Queen creates the Torchwood Institute at the end of the episode. So there we go. That's in a nutshell. This episode in a nutshell, basically. So if you want to have a beginner conversation about it, Ben mainly, because you lot have been so noisy, Ben hasn't been able to get a word in edgeways. I'll be back in a few moments after making a cup of milk for Isabella.
Is Ben still here?
Yes, he is.
I've left.
Very quiet, Ben.
Wow, that's because I was listening to what you were saying, so imagine what the podcast will be like when I'm not on it. And I've decided I'm not going to listen.
So much better.
Oh, are you still going to download, though?
Well, I'm not, but iTunes will probably do it when I turn it on accidentally.
It's got a download, just not the podcast.
Yes, that's right. So I'll, if you want me to lie and say I'll still listen, I'm quite happy to do that. Well, actually, it's not really a still listen. It will just be a listen for the first time. So I'll say that if you want.
How come we can barely hear the clock? Is Adam set up in a different room
or
something?
It's in another room. Yes.
The clock is one of the co-hosts.
Yes.
Never mind the blimmin' clock. What were you saying, Ben?
I was saying...
We were wondering why you're in a different room, Adam.
So as Isabella can watch the telly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go on, Ben.
It was an episode, wasn't it?
It just
seemed to be kind of like an episode to try and get Torchwood recognised and so that he could write a spin-off series.
Yes.
Quite a few of those this season.
Yeah. Got to look after his pension.
That's very true. That's very true. That was good. I did like some of the jokes in it. Nice and there was a good. I loved the bit with Rose trying to get the Queen to say we are not. It's very amusing.
And the way a contradiction there.
After a it was good. I liked it. Yeah.
All these interruptions.
What?
God. Yes.
Yes, it was good. Yes, it was. Yeah. Most definitely was.
What?
Another point when I was out of the room, during the commentary, Russell T. Davies was on the commentary, and he was saying that one of the monks, there was one he said would make a perfect Auton without being made up.
Which one was that? Was that the main baddie one that the Queen shot?
No, one of the ones in the background.
All right.
It's got to be slightly offensive, isn't it?
His head looked perfect for an Auton.
It's not, I think I've only seen this one once. I enjoyed Pauline Collins. I thought she was, obviously, previous time she'd been in Doctor Who.
She was Samantha Briggs, wasn't she, in Faceless Ones?
Yeah, that's where I was going. But there was the connection between her and they said about McCrimmon, and of course, was the one that Jamie was flirting with in the Faceless Ones, her character.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't realize.
It was.
That.
Yes.
Yep.
So that was.
And they were trying to persuade her to, join as a companion, but she didn't want to.
No, but she would have made a good companion. She sort of
bounced
off Jamie quite well in that particular story.
A story that...
Ooh, bounced off.
God.
This was a story that I saw an awful lot because my geek daughter liked this one so much we watched it practically every night for 2 weeks straight.
Really?
Why
was that though? Did she just like the werewolf element?
I don't know. And then eventually we switched over and she watched Girl in the Fireplace more. Oh. But,
I bet she just liked Rose's costume. No way, that was me.
But I also watched School Reunion last night as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing that because
You've never seen it?
I have seen it, but I haven't watched it yet in this long run of stories we're watching at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
And I was going to watch The Girl in the Fireplace, but it was about 3:30 at that point, so I thought I'd better go to bed.
Is that why you're so tired?
Yeah.
Not surprised.
I was watching The Masters. It was great last night.
Who won it, then?
Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson won it with the most amazing shot.
Yeah, I heard something on the news about an albatross, and they showed the shot. The albatross.
Yeah, I don't like golf either.
But
Master's back on Earth.
That's about all I've seen of it. Really, just that albatross shot.
Incredible. I don't like Bubba Watson.
Which
but...
master was it? Roger Delgado.
Oh, be quiet.
Yeah. Well, John Cena.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? If you had a golf tournament of all the Masters.
I'd actually watch that. You know.
Mm. I think I'd watch it.
Yeah, I would too.
England won the cricket.
Yeah, they did. That was good news. I enjoyed that.
Who were they playing?
Sri Lanka.
Yep, and Man United seemed to have made a massive step towards winning the
cricket and a grasshopper.
Huh?
What?
I don't
know. What is the difference? I thought it was a joke.
And the other one doesn't.
But anyway, yes. So yeah, it was good. Man City threw it all away. And I tell you what, talk about Man City. I mean, how knob end that blooming Balotelli is, isn't he? Good grief.
Seriously, I've never seen
absolute
dirtier player in my entire
how
life.
How the hell he wasn't sent off in the first half? They waited until 2 minutes from the end of the game before actually sending off.
Well, at least cricket sort of has a relationship to Doctor Who. Because
football does as well. If you remember a story called The Lodger, in which the Doctor actually played football. So I'm sorry, I think I'm allowed to talk about football because of Matt Smith's actual former professional football career and the fact that...
you can forgive him his sins. He's such a good actor.
Oh, shush.
Stop doing that now.
So Ben will be very happy. Man United champion. Southampton not quite as close to winning the... Coca-Cola League. No, it's not Coca-Cola anymore, is it? Was it the Empower Championship after drawing to Portsmouth? Felt like a defeat.
He drew with Pompey. It was all right. He did okay.
No, it felt like a defeat after going 2-1 up with 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, but you still go up, won't worry about
it. I hope so. Anyway, moving back to Doctor Who, there's some news.
Oh,
really?
David Tennant is fronting a new advertising campaign for Virgin Media. Alongside Sir Richard Branson. Now, the interesting thing I thought about that particular advert, when Richard Branson goes into the little box and becomes his younger self, the actor they've got is almost a spitting image of Richard Branson. I thought, what a clever casting.
Spitting image?
You know what, I think it was probably deliberate, that.
I know, but they've done such a good job in finding someone that looked like a...
You've got a lot of money to look.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not CGI'd a bit or anything
No, no, no. It's a actor that looks like the young Richard Branson. But
Virgin Media, David Tennant.
But it's a good advert, that. It's a good advert. I wouldn't ever get Virgin products like
I've
that.
I've already got it a bit late for that. Their internet's rubbish, which
yeah,
is why
that's what I was going to say.
I keep on becoming Jim the Fish.
Yeah, so I wouldn't
say... How is he down there, by the way?
It's not. They make it look like it's nice and easy, but it's not. Unfortunately, it.
I keep on phoning them up and telling them that they're ripping me off.
I'm sure you're fine if you're in London.
What do they say?
We don't care. But they're not as bad as PayPal.
PayPal. I'd sue them, Ben. I'd sue them.
Well, the thing is, right? Because I've been selling these coins on FIFA, and now twice. Well, actually, sometime a little while ago, someone actually defrauded someone and used their account to buy me stuff, and I lost out my money and that. But over the weekend, I sold some more coins, like on the 22nd of March, and yet on Friday, Bank Holiday Friday, somehow that payment, 2.5 weeks after the transaction was done, was reversed by the person who. And so I've lost out on 60 odd quid. But PayPal can go and do one because I'm not paying them back because it's not my fault. I've been defrauded myself, so why should I pay them back?
Yeah.
So the next time you hear of me, it'll probably be in the news when I'm in court.
Well, no, I mean, I'd go to a solicitor. I'd sue. We'll go to the police because you've been stolen from, basically. Haven't you? So
I absolutely have. PayPal don't care. Problem.
Why don't you contact BBC Watchdog because they love stories like that?
I'm going to about it. I think
good
actually.
Boy. Good boy. Because you won't be the only one. And when they've got
need
a few
to get
people,
some media about it. Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
And they're bound to pick you because where you have it, you've had such experience with media and stuff like that. They're
with
bound
Reds,
to
pick you. Perhaps.
I will get hold of them if they're not going to sort it out for me because I'm not paying them back. I shouldn't have to pay back for being defrauded myself. If I've been stolen from. They
absolutely. I totally have to utterly agree.
Then they'll cover it.
Indeed. Anyway, that's the news. BBC Wales BBC Wales are to present a special event featuring the screening of the two recently rediscovered episodes of Galaxy 4 and The Underwater Menace. The event will also feature Q&A with stars Peter Purvis, Annika Wills and Fraser Hines. Now, Annika Wills is pronounced Annika. But unfortunately, Siobhan Galishan calls her Anique. Even though it's Annika. And we established this.
Did the Siobhan Galishan person win some sort of award earlier?
Yeah.
She can't even can't even speak properly. What is that about? Where's my Lifetime Achievement Award?
Anyway, well, she can pronounce things quite well, but unfortunately, when it comes to the name of a well-known Doctor Who actress, not. But anyway, yes. So that's going to be quite exciting.
Adam.
The event takes place at takes place at Chapter Arts Centre in Cardiff on the 9th of May, 3 days before my birthday.
Trouble getting there.
Yeah. Go on then, Robert.
Maybe. So about those two episodes, there's no news about when they're releasing on DVD?
No. What they'll probably do is wait till all the classic episodes that we've been waiting for actually finally released, and then give themselves something extra to release. They'll release a DVD of it. that way, I suppose.
There's not very many stories to release anymore.
No, there aren't. There's probably about 15, something like that. I must look through.
But no, I think even less than that.
Right, 14.
There's only a handful of Sylvester McCoy. All of Baker's are out. All of Davison's are out. Tom Baker's out. I think about two left. No, there's Zygons and...
I think when he said Baker's, he meant Colin Baker.
One more. Nightmare Beetle. Okay.
But the Zygons are...
I don't pay attention to that Baker.
Harsh.
Oh. And
Get out of this podcast now.
And a few of the Pertwees. There's only Ice Warriors, I think. Ice Warriors and Crotons. If they're going to do anything with Ice Warriors to, you know, with the missing episodes... And Reign of Terror and, I don't know, a couple of others of so there's hardly any left.
Yeah, well, I'm quite pleased with that because by the time they've released them all, there'll be a new medium of playing back that we'll have to collect them on instead of what we have been collecting.
There is, it's called Blu-ray.
Yeah, no, we don't need Blu-ray for old stuff from the 70s and 80s because
and fortunately,
not high resolution.
You can play DVDs and Blu-ray players.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, the new issue of Doctor Who magazine is published on Thursday and talks exclusive. Let's start that again. The new issue of Doctor Who magazine is published on Thursday and talks exclusively to the latest actress to enter the TARDIS, Jenna Louise Comer. So, and also there's loads of other stuff. I'm not going to read that lot out.
Got a bit more detail on that,
Robert. What?
I've got a bit more detail on that says Stephen Moffat does lie. You know the way he said we're going to have standalone episodes?
Yep, he lied.
Oh, God.
What a surprise!
She says, I know what my introduction is, she says in the new Doctor
It's a Christmas special.
Jenna Louise Coleman. Yes, she's in the Christmas special, but it says there's definitely a story arc, she continues. It sounds really interesting, really exciting, and I don't think anything like it's been done before. That's what they said last year. But there are a lot of secrets and intrigue, and I think it's going to throw and confuse a lot of people. Well, like last year. And surprise a lot of people.
Last year.
And it's going to annoy us.
Yawn.
Yeah, like last year.
There's been loads of speculation and rumours and gubbins on stuff on the internet about how she's going to turn out to be a reincarnation of Susan or Tegan or K-9 or something like that.
A reincarnation of Tegan?
That bit was made up. But right. People say Romana. She's going to be Susan or the Rani.
She's going to be Romana 3.
Romana coming back, something like that. It's, you know, it's going to be all that kind of rubbish for the next 6 months, well, 9 months until she turns up. And all it's going to be is that she'd have stowed away on board the TARDIS or something, and she'll walk out of the clothes room or something like that.
If you're wondering what the buzzing in the background is, Isabella is attacking me with a load of bubbles again.
She obviously finds that very amusing.
Evidently. So she's replaced tears with bubbles.
It's all right, if you pour the bubble mixture in her eyes, she'll start crying again.
She can't hear what you're saying. Australian events. Doctor Who Night 2012, what? The final game. ABC Shop in Rosny Park in Eastland Shopping Centre in Tasmania, Australia. Tasmania, Australia?
Tasmania?
I thought Tasmania was just Tasmania. Didn't know it was part of Australia.
Tasmania is to Australia what the Isle of Wight is to the UK.
No, it's much further away. Yeah. Australia is to host its fourth Doctor Who Night on the 14th of April. The event will include a theatrical play entitled The Final Game, based on a classic Doctor and an even more classic villain, a quiz, giveaways, specials and prizes. Daleks will be in attendance, as will K-9 and the TARDIS. Now, will that be the Australian K-9 or the more recognisable, classic K-9?
K-9. Australian
K-9 have an Australian accent?
No, the Australian K-9 is still
John Leeson,
but with a different sort of remodeled version of K-9.
Looks like he's got proper legs
and everything. I've seen a couple of those episodes. It's not bad.
And with some awful Australian actors who can't do English accents. Anyway, food outlets such as Gloria...
Australia can make good shows.
Not saying they can't make good shows. Would you say K-9's a good show? I don't think so. I managed to get through one
bad.
And a half
have
episode. Yes, I have. I saw one and a half episodes, and then I got bored, sick of it, and got sort of hacked off with the sort of...
It's aimed at preschool kids, isn't it?
But the trouble is, there's no need for them to pretend it's in Britain.
There's no need for it. They might as well just say, "Oh, K9 landed in Australia," and just do it there. What's the point? Is it, you know, is it
playing dog? You do.
It's a sort of multi-galactic time traveling dog thing.
Yeah,
time traveling.
So why does he have to land in Britain? He could have landed anywhere on the planet. So there you go. That's my moans about it. But,
I mean, why does the Doctor have to land in Britain every episode? Hey,
yeah, he doesn't though. They just show the ones where he lands.
Doesn't come
in Britain.
To Australia,
ah,
does he?
Ah, can I tell you something about New Earth?
Yes, you can.
It was New Earth was the first time that the series visited an alien planet.
Was it?
For the new series. Yep.
Was it?
Well,
they didn't visit planets.
Five.
That's not a planet.
It's not a planet, but it's not Earth.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it was an alien planet.
Good one. I hadn't really considered that particular thing, but you must be right. But
it's called Earth.
Food outlets such as... I'm not going to read that bit now. I'm bored of that. Anyway, Whomi. Doctor Who is about to face its greatest challenge. His number one fan, Rob Lloyd, the Hounds, the Mutants, and... No, it says Lloyd.
Good night.
A study in Scarlet, a study of. And fan number one is putting the Doctor on trial. Oh, what now? You need more. There's not going to be any left, and you'll be moaning that you can't do any more bubbles because you've used the blimmin' things up. Good grief.
Don't this bloke... another trial of the Time Lord, are we?
No, it's what this Doctor Who fan is doing, Rob Lloyd. And not just for Doctor Who fans, it's a show about obsession and its many faces. What have you been obsessed with? A celebrity, a football team, a TV show? For Rob, it's Doctor Who all the way, and it's in Melbourne and Adelaide Fringe Festivals and Full House of Armageddon Expo 2011. Rob Lloyd will be bringing Whomi back to the Melbourne for this year's Melbourne International Comedy Festival. So there you go. If you're anywhere near Melbourne, it might be a good idea to go to that event.
I'm nowhere near Melbourne.
Not a lot of Doctor Who events in Australia.
They're pretty close.
So there you go.
Yeah, Reese is closer than me.
There you go, Reese. You've got to go to that. That's your job. You have to go to it. Hugo nominations. We're not going to talk about that because you've already talked about them. However,
Doctor Who... Am I nominated for one that I'm not going to win over some person who's actually a boy or a girl?
Reese Parton is nominated for Best Podcaster.
Oh, excellent.
What else we got?
These awards seem more ridiculous than the other ones.
I'd like to thank the Academy and...
Yeah. Mr. M.
Mr. M, my arm.
M-I-R. Scam.
Really must ban props on this podcast. It's getting very naughty.
Don't have props.
Anyway, right.
What props?
What we should have done, Adam, is pretended that I didn't actually have a job.
Yeah.
And that I wasn't leaving because of that all. Well, pretend, yeah.
There hasn't been any change.
I wasn't even that, but I was so disappointed at being stitched out of all my Doctor Who podcast awards, I refused to take part anymore.
That would have been good. Why didn't we think of that?
We should have done that, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Let's pretend that now.
Should we start again? Right, let's go back to the beginning. Hello and welcome to episode 107 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Ben is not with us today because he's a bit upset about being snubbed with the awards. What awards were they? The Mr. M Awards. So that just leaves the winner of... what award did you win, Reese?
Best Podcaster Award.
Best Podcaster Award.
Reese
Parton, that one.
Best Podcaster.
Some chap called Kirby Bartlett Sloan and Sir Robert of Haynes.
The Pest Podcaster.
I tried. I did try. Yes, Isabella. You're having fun?
Okay.
I'm glad somebody is. Right.
I can't hear you over that noise, though.
Well, the humming. Yeah. Can you do that elsewhere? Because it's coming over on the Skype microphone. Not on my microphone.
On the Skype mic. You sound like Skype.
You sounded like Jeremy Clarkson then. Tonight, on the Skype mic.
Pardon?
We drive it round our track and find out it's not as good as it should be.
Right.
Here's the hamster.
That concludes Doctor Who News. Unless anybody else has heard something that I haven't already mentioned in that particular piece.
Well, there was that bit that, I think, was it Reese that posted on Facebook earlier about how it was Karen Gillan's last day yesterday of filming.
Oh.
And that she was crying. Oh. And then everyone was thinking that was because she was leaving, but actually it was because it was from the first episode of the series or something. And that she needed to cry because she'd had an argument with Rory. It's called acting, people. It's called acting.
Okay.
That's the Daily
Anything
Mail.
Anything else?
Yeah. No.
No. You know, I'm getting to feeling, Ben, that we should have actually sort of announced your departure as a regular member of the show, so as we could have got some sympathy emails in, because obviously we may well get some sympathy emails in next week. Sympathy. Sympathy emails.
Well, I'd quite like some symphony emails. That'd be good.
Anyway, yeah, but of course we'll get them in, but you won't get to hear them.
No, I'll listen, Adam.
No, you won't. If you happen to have a lunch break, if you get be quiet, if you
he will laugh.
The master.
If you happen to have a lunch break between 11 and 1 next week, let me know. And if you get a phone, like an iPhone, you can get Skype on, then we can get on the show.
Alicia's...
Yeah, because you'll have some money now, Ben.
You don't even have an iPhone. Get Skype.
Have you got Skype on your phone?
Yes.
Have you? Sorry.
And it's not an iPhone. I refuse to get an iPhone because they're for...
So you have Skype on your phone then? Well, yes.
What is your phone, Ben?
The Kiwi.
Hey, what? Say again.
What is your phone, Ben?
It's a Nokia N8.
Oh, I used to have one of them.
I doubt you did.
And you upgraded.
Yeah, Alicia had one, actually. I call it mine because I bought for it, but I paid for it. But anyway, we have a eBay this week. Surprise, surprise, the item that's most expensively listed is...
Still the number plate.
No, actually, they've got it in the wrong order for some reason, because just below that is Doctor Who Rare Unique Collection of Books, DVDs and Autographs for £3,000 exactly. The thing above it, which is what you just mentioned, the number plate, was £2,999. Nobody's put any bids against them. What a surprise.
What a surprise.
But the item with the bids against, the highest placed item and the most expensive altogether with bids against, is a full-size Bronze Dalek New Series Doctor Who. Strange title, but there it is. That's £1,400. One bid.
Is that genuine or a knock-up?
Beg your pardon?
Is it Dalek? Genuine or a knock-up?
I suspect someone's built it, but sometimes they're built so well that they look genuine, and I think that's what people are looking for. And I don't think it's likely to be a BBC prop. I think it was. If it said original BBC prop, then it's going to go for thousands, isn't it? And it won't be for sale on eBay. It'll be sale for sale at some special auction somewhere. The second item is a Doctor Who Daleks Invasion of Earth 2150 AD original. That's a poster, basically. And yes, it is large, despite Alicia looking at it last week saying, isn't that a little bit little? No, that's the size of the picture.
It's so small.
£599 for that poster.
I'd go there.
My God. Yeah. Someone's actually bid £599 plus £4 postage for I might as well just do some reproductions of it.
Plus £4 postage?
Yeah.
They're playing 500 quid for something, then getting it posted for £4.
Yes.
That seems like it's a bargain.
Yeah. And, of course, I got to pay from using PayPal, which is, of course, very reliable form of transfer of money. Well, I remember the old days on eBay when you used to pay by check. Oh, God, here we go.
Just a tip for everybody. If you want to buy something from someone on eBay, buy it and then pay on PayPal and then reverse the payment and they can do nothing about it.
Yes. This thing Isabella's been playing with smells as sick. It's just, poor dear. Absolutely revolting. Anyway.
Would you stop?
Would I stop? Why would you mean? Why would you want me to stop?
I wish you'd stop doing that.
What, going? Let's see if we can find the final item on this eBay thing.
No.
That. What?
I've just driven the ball.
You've got a job.
You're trying to play golf and podcasting at the same time. Last item. The third item is Doctor Who DVD collection. Job Lot, Dalek, Cyberman, Heart... You just said you'd... Right. One more. Right, yes, okay.
I forgot. No, Dan, can you keep that? Because I forgot there's many things.
But what? I've got them here. I've got them here. Oh, for God's sake. Yes, Doctor Who DVD... Who's gone? There's a problem with the call. Are you all still there? Have you tripped over the...
Did you make a line?
Is Adam back on?
Someone tripped over the blimmin' the cable to the internet. Probably one of the dogs.
What, you mean on the island?
Sorry?
You disconnected the entire Isle of Wight.
Magic has decided to lie on the internet connection, and of course, when doing that, disconnected it. Virtually. And he's still lying on it now. Anyway, where was I? I was saying...
Never work with kids and animals.
Doctor Who DVD collection, Job Lot, Daleks, Cybermen and Hartnell, etc. It's basically a load of DVDs. £170 for all these DVDs. They've got seven bids. I'm interested to see how many DVDs you get for your money with this. 107.
Yeah.
107.
It's not only is it disconnected the internet for the call, it also disconnected it for the computer I'm viewing for eBay on. Good grief.
Grief.
Do you remember the old days, Ben, when we used to be talking to you underwater?
You've got to get it in once more, haven't you? That's what she said.
Beg your pardon?
Underwater finish.
Yeah, underwater or not, you know. That reminds me of a time I was into Kynthos with an ex-girlfriend in the sea. But we'll leave that there.
Under the sea.
Quite literally.
Anyway, I will tell you, listeners, even though this is Ben's last regular appearance on the show, I will be making very strong efforts to keep him on the programme as regularly as possible.
Well, the thing is, and you mustn't tell anyone at work this, obviously, but I'm going to be working somewhere that's have proper radio studios and everything. So, like, when I'm not that busy, if I get 5 minutes, I can just record something and email it to you.
That's Bilocki and Kirk.
Apart from mine will be better.
I hope you do. That will be nice, won't it, lads? Won't it be nice if Ben Uma emails?
Will it, lads? Eh?
Yeah. Yes.
And I'll leave it for you. I can set up all the innuendos. Or the other thing we can do. The other thing I can do is I can just record lots of things like, that's what she said. And you can just play them in whenever you want, whenever you feel like it.
Won't be quite as good as the original thing.
I'm sure I'll have the occasional Monday off. It's not going to be, you know.
I've got to continue to email you about 10 o'clock every Monday morning. Say, are you available this week? And eventually you'll say yes.
I'll probably find out my shift either a week or a month in advance so we can plan it.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice to have Ben back on the show?
And the other thing is, the shift patterns is either going to be 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon or 2 in the afternoon till 10 in the evening. So if it's 2 in the afternoon, if I do afternoons, then I won't have to leave here till 1.
Yeah.
So just before 1. So I can do the first hour. So.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, thanks.
Excellent.
The point we're all missing here is the fact that I don't keep jobs particularly well. So I'll probably be back full time in about 4
weeks. It's the best way to be pessimistic about things. Yes.
At the end of Doctor Who magazine, they have the Stockbridge English Dictionary, and they have Exelon, the favourite exclamation of a French cyber leader.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I thought that was good, honestly. Well done.
Maybe I shouldn't leave. Maybe I should stay. Seriously, you lot are going to struggle big time, aren't you?
Yes. Well, I can guarantee there will not be any staunch efforts to retain comedy in the programme. It's never been deliberate.
Well, that's quite apparent.
Yes, I haven't been able to establish how many DVDs you get in this collection, although the photo implies it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23,
we're still talking eBay.
20, about 30, about 30 for £170.
3,400.
30 for £170. House. Isn't it a massive? You could build a house out of them. There must be some doubles in there then. If he's giving away 3,400.
No doubles. There's a few box sets. So that's rather concludes eBay for this week.
eBay.
Does that conclude eBay for this week?
That's what I just said.
eBay has been concluded.
I've managed to add some members to the
interesting stuff.
20 megabyte group. We've got 118 members now.
I'll tell you what we should do. We should record this.
118.
We should then try and sell audio feeds of this podcast on eBay, see how many of them sell.
It's amazing. We've got 110 more group members than we do listeners.
Soon about to be 111.
Careful, Reese. I'm not going to be getting into my group. It may be accurate, but you don't need to tell the listeners that they're the only people listening to the show, because they might be thinking, oh, if nobody else is listening.
Did you say we had?
About 3.
12.
Most of our listeners are actually on the show at the moment. Oh, what members? 118.
I show 121. What are you looking at?
All right, is it? Mine says 108. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah. I'll do a refresh. it says 65 members. Oh, no, that's a different group. Sorry. But yes, unless anybody else has got something interesting to
divulge. Yeah, who is this? I've got no idea who this person is who's ripped me out of my my awards, my rightful awards.
He's a listener to Staggering Stories.
It was Staggering Stories.
And when you make a Doctor Who podcast.
Occasionally.
And Who Is the Man podcast.
And a fan of Alicia.
Why do they bother doing all these podcasts?
Who?
What is a podcast? What have I been doing for the last year and a half?
What you've been doing is a podgram.
I've been doing a podgram, that's quite correct, sir, yes. I've been podgram.
How long have you been out of a job, Ben?
How long have I been out of a job? The last day I actually did any paid work properly for a company that didn't include going and doing a little bit of plumbing for my cousin was July the 31st, 2010.
Nine.
The last time I worked on the radio, however, was November the 23rd, 2009.
So
it's been a hell of a long time.
Yeah,
I can see that.
I know, so I'm going to real struggle getting back into the whole I've got to go to work now thing ethic.
Especially if you're tired just from sleeping.
Well, the thing is, my daily schedule still kind of looks a bit like a student's in the fact that I get up when I want, do what I want, and go to bed when I want. But I just have to be a bit more disciplined, won't I?
I understand that very well.
If I get up...
And Ben, you know the upside of it. You'll be able to buy PS3 games, but the downside is you won't have the time to play them.
That is completely true, yeah. And the other downside is that I always get my little baby Mia. Well, she's not baby, she's five. I always get Mia at the weekends, and now I'm going to have to work weekends. So I don't see her as much, which is a real shame because she's my baby.
Aww.
Going to miss her.
You said something about Mia at Easter that was quite amusing on Facebook.
Did I? What did she say? Oh, she said Happy Easter to everybody. I don't know if that's what you're referring to.
No, you put something that was quite sweet. That she did.
Did I?
Yes, she did.
Chocolate.
Oh, what, were there tongue twisters?
That's it.
Oh, yeah. It's always quite amusing trying to get a five-year-old to do tongue twisters, isn't it? What did she come up with? She sells on the seesaw. She wanted to go to the park at the time. I'm not sure if that was any relevance to what she was doing. But yes, she's an absolute girl. Almost as nice as my big one, who may well be hearing me upstairs, so I better say how lovely she is too. Aren't you, Chloe?
I don't really know what to say, because we're going to get upset with Ben on the show.
Yes, there's lots of benefits to the new job.
Lots of benefits.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Oh, God.
Including
lots and lots
of money, which is ridiculous.
So you could actually come over to the Isle of Wight and record the show live then, one day?
Oh, I haven't got that much money. Oh. It's...
Yet.
It is the biggest paid job I've ever had, and I haven't worked for 2 years. I just can't work that out at all.
I've just Googled Ben Shoveler.
Oh, there's loads of me.
There's one that just popped up called The Ben Shoveler Show on Facebook.
That's what I used to be famous.
But it's not showing anything.
You got so miffed that you made your own podcast, did you?
No, it wasn't a podcast. It was a radio show.
That was my... I've done exactly the same thing I did last time. That's stupid.
It doesn't show anything. It's just a blank page. They've deleted.
That was when I used to be on the radio, and that's all my podcast. No, that's all my proper radio listener people. So that was always nice, but hey, that finished a long time back.
So did that page.
Well, I haven't updated it for a long time because there's not been any reason to. So.
There's literally nothing on it at all.
Isn't there?
No, it's just a blank page.
That's weird. There weren't comments and stuff.
Yeah, there were. I remember seeing them. I remember actually adding to them at one point.
Yeah. Oh, so Facebook must... Oh, I'll tell you what, that's the other thing that's annoyed me. Facebook have gone and done this damn timeline thing.
Oh, I do like timeline to a certain
point. I absolutely hate that. It's just ridiculous. Just give you the choice. If you don't want it, you shouldn't have to have it. But then again, if you don't want it, Facebook...
We have got a choice, haven't you? I'm pretty sure there was a choice when I agreed to it. No,
that's when you agreed to it. You used to have a choice, but now it's all... I've just hit the bunker.
I haven't checked mine lately, so I don't know.
You don't get a choice anymore, which is appalling, quite frankly.
Indeed.
Yeah, that appalling. Facebook, it's appalling.
Yeah.
Yes, Facebook. Appalling. Almost as bad as PayPal, who will be hearing from my lawyers once I've got lawyers.
After you've been in touch with BBC Watchdog.
I will be doing that, definitely, because the way that PayPal treat people is all...
getting in touch with Watchdog.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty decent. Just sunk a 49-foot putt.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
So, Kirby, what do you reckon on the departure of Ben?
It's the podcast is not going to be the same.
Well everyone that. Knows that.
So then, Robert, what do you reckon on the departure of Ben?
Yeah, it's not good.
Ah, oh, there you go.
But it's not permanent, though, is it?
I hope not.
No, it's not forever never going to be back, is it? It's just I won't be able to do it every week anymore. So.
I did find something dated the 6th of the 12th, 2008, that says, from East Lee Soulboy, I listened to the radio today and believed the main commentator's name was Ben Shoveler. I may have spelt the name wrong.
Really? What was that? I don't remember doing that.
I don't know. That's what it says. It's to do with some radio station called Radio Hampshire.
How could you get Ben wrong?
Oh, yeah. I didn't commentate on Radio Hampshire, did I?
You did the other after-match phone-in thing, didn't you?
I did the pre-match bit and the post-match phone-in and all that, yeah. That was when I was good. I like that. Because I got to talk about Southampton Football Club, who have always been my second favourite.
Oh, girl, Saints. Shut up, Kirby. So then, Reese, what do you reckon of Ben's departure from the 20 Megabyte podcast?
Well, I'm getting less, given all the news that we can rearrange various shifts and things for him, he could come back on. I'm getting a little less upset about it.
Oh, you were upset about it?
That he will be going. Of course I was.
That's not... Isabella, come in here a minute.
Don't blow
bubbles. You can't do it from there. Come in here. Come in here. Right. Get out of the way, Magic. Don't tread on the lead. Right.
Magic's coming to
Ben, give a comment. Ben is leaving the podcast as a regular, every week member of the podcast. What do you think of Ben's departure from the 20 Megabyte podcast?
I don't know.
What do you think? Hang on, let's put the earphones on. What do you think of Ben?
I don't know.
You don't know? No. He's got long hair. And he talks a lot.
Thank he does, Bella.
Can I just point out as well at this point that if you're heading down to B&Q in Farnborough, there's a queue to get in. That's what the wife's just reported back from shops.
I'm not going to B&Q.
Not going to what?
I'll bear that in mind.
Should you need to go to B&Q in Farnborough?
I'm going to say goodbye to Ben.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much.
Guess goodbye.
Say
goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
sorry, what was that? I couldn't hear that. Isabella had me head. Isabella had me cans.
Here's something interesting for you, Adam, to take back to what we were just talking about.
Oh, yes.
On the bench for Sheffield Wednesday today, David Prutton.
Really? That's an old mate of ours. Well, you're... Well,
Daddy, I want to join the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, but Isabella wants to join the podcast. The trouble is, I can't hear what you're saying when she's got the my cans on. Go on, then. I did find another thing on the internet that when I searched Ben Shoveler, it said 20 Megabyte Doctor... Will you be quiet?
The
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 87, The Mind Robbed, before recording this week's 48th anniversary of Doctor Who's show, our very own Ben Shoveler appeared live on BBC Radio 2's Ken Bruce show, where we were very kindly plugged. Kindly plugged the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast to an audience of 8 million listeners.
When was that?
That was...
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember doesn't that. Doesn't have a date on it. It was on a website called combomb.co.uk where it's picked up.
Yeah, I can't ISS remember. Feed. Did you know... Can you remember the first podcast I did? I can't remember even when it was.
I can remember.
It would have been after...
I listened to it recently.
Oh, yes. And what was it like?
Do you know what I hated, Adam?
Oh, God, you hated me. That's nice, thank you.
No.
That's what you just said, Reece.
I don't mean it that way.
I just heard you say, you know what I hated, Adam.
Yes, okay.
That was Robert who said that, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
No, because I've been...
All you Australians sound the same.
Same with you Brits, Adam.
What about Wee Yang?
Well, wasn't somebody going to say something then? I've lost track of who was saying what.
I was just listening to old episodes, and what I used to hate was that you mixed, you know, each person with a different channel. And my left ear is quite deaf, so I can only hear one side of the
podcast. So you would have hated last week's show when I mixed everybody with a different channel, because I had to, because I gave Alicia her own microphone.
But anyway, back to me.
Back to you,
remind
yes.
me not to whisper in your left ear then, Robert.
Someone's going to have to listen to all of the old podcasts and work out when I was first on it, because I can't be bothered.
Well, I'm trying to do some research as you speak, just to see if we can facilitate that particular question.
Ben, I have to say you were very subdued in your first podcast.
Yeah.
Did you do it by phone back then?
Didn't I what?
Because did you do it by phone back then?
We did it by phone a couple of times.
Yeah, I was in Shanklin and Co-op car park, I remember, on one particular occasion.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Because I was listening, and you sounded very subdued, honestly. You were very polite. And very.
He was polite.
Yes, because we never actually mentioned Stephen Moffat, I think, on that show. It's probably why.
Oh, well, you know, we all find our footing, don't we, eventually? And I decided that I'd come out of my quiet little shell and decide to be rude and nasty to everybody.
I googled Ben Shoveler and I found the Ben Shoveler show on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
That page. But I also found a comment by Ben Shoveler saying, gosh, Billy Piper looks quite good in that picture.
God, the internet is one dangerous place, isn't it?
Yes, isn't it?
But that's fairly predictable that would actually be.
If you Google Tim Shoveler, you'll find my brother.
Is he the Fat Controller one?
He's even more famous than I am now.
Where will I find him?
He's the controller, isn't he, or something?
Some railway controlling person.
Yeah.
He runs the train, basically.
Oh, he back to Bad Wolf and Parting of the Ways.
So who was on first? Was it Ben or was it Kirby?
Who?
Oh, it must have been Kirby.
Was it?
I'm sure I remember Kirby being on.
Who's first?
Yeah, because obviously when I started doing this with Adam, it was a case that I recorded a little bit with him, and then he recorded other bits with other people, and then edited it all together.
Yeah,
and then suddenly one day he decided that he was going to forego that.
Circumstances came to fruition that allowed a few people to be on at the same time. Yeah,
yeah. So we all started doing it all together.
Yeah. I remember I used to record on Sundays. With Adam while he was sitting in a
car in Shanklin. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I think I've been doing it for over a year, well over a year.
I seem to think that episode 48 was the first one to feature Ben. sorry, Kirby. Episode 48 was the first one to feature Kirby, because the blurb says, this week, with Alicia out of action, Kirby Bartlett Sloan kindly steps in to help out with news and a look at the comic relief mini episode Space and Time.
But you know Adam. You know me, yes. You get things. Sometimes
yes, I do.
You get things wrong.
You reckon I get things wrong, do you? How dare you?
I was missing
a vote. Who thinks Adam gets things wrong?
One of the show notes from it's only a couple of weeks ago or something.
Were you?
I was absolutely missing. You said Ben, Reese and Kirby discussed something or other.
Yes.
I was just totally missing
of the ways.
I'm glad you pay attention to my show notes. This shows that it's worth
putting
them on there.
I forgot
to mention the charts last week.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
The charts are never going to be the same again.
I'm starting to think, looking back through this that, in fact, Ben
was on
before
35
Kirby.
Or something.
Yeah. Thinking I was on before Kirby?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm going back in time.
You were, Ben, honestly, yeah.
Right, well, thinking about it, I've definitely done it for over a year. I think I probably started before Christmas 2010.
Mm.
Or was it just after Christmas 2010? Just early 2011.
Well, I got back now. You were on the Alicia of Doom mini episode. That was episode after episode 39. And Techman James was putting in feedback around that particular period of time. This is January 2011.
Well, I'll tell you what, if anyone actually does... has a recording of the first, well, obviously it was iTunes and that, But, yeah, you know, if anyone wants to find out which episode I was on first, do let Adam and the rest of the PodGram crew know. I'll never find out because I won't listen.
But, you know, so annoying.
It will be interesting.
Did you not listen to the Fraser Hines episode? That was well worth listening to. You were. What about Louise Jameson?
I don't think I did, no.
You are so naughty. Isn't he naughty?
I enjoy doing the podcast with you, but then after that, it's kind of like done for a week, and then, you know, I let everyone else just... Let
me shut up, Magic.
For a while.
Hold on.
Yes?
Hold on, I know what episode it was.
It's going to be 30-something.
Episode 32. See, with Alicia getting herself banned from the podcast this week, we introduce a new co-host, for a change, have a really good chat about Doctor Who.
For a change.
It says this show doesn't include Rhys Barton, the great podcast contributor, but we are working on that one.
APB Services in conjunction with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 32 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam, and today we haven't got Alicia with us because she got banned from this podcast for her blatantly bad prediction that Michael Gambon's character in the Christmas special was going to be called Ebenezer Scrooge. And she bet her career in podcasting on it, which ended up being the next episode being this one. So instead of Alicia, over the old-fangled phone thingamajig, we've got Ben.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, Ben, and thank you for joining me on the show, because I can't really do this on my own.
That's all right. I was going to say, though, you know, being the 32nd one, my first appearance, you know, I'm wondering where I've been for the last 31.
And have you listened to any of the preceding episodes?
Every single one of them at least four times. A lot of the time, I actually download it to my generic iPod player type thing. And I normally put them on just sometime, normally in the evening, and I tell you what, they're a cracking way to get to sleep. Just brilliant.
Thank you, son. Thank you.
I normally get 4 or 5 minutes in, and then, you know, of course I jest, it's more 7 minutes.
So that was episode 32?
Which sounded...
Yes.
What's the date on that one, then?
42.
The date would be November... Sorry, December the... Oh, good grief.
7th of December 2010.
See, there you go. I was right. I said it was just before Christmas 2020.
Yeah.
Well,
astounding.
So I've done 70, nearly 80.
Nearly 80 podcasts. You say that was episode 32. Right, okay.
See, so, I mean, sometimes you don't mention people's names on things.
I've only missed two.
You've got to bear in mind, Robert, when I write the blurb, it's after having done about 4 hours of editing and about 10:30 at night. And sometimes I get a bit of forgetfulness in regards to... Shush. In regards as to what I've actually
done. You used to put your podcasts on there as well, which podcasts you listen to.
Yeah, but we do that as part of the charts now. It saves me all the bother. Yeah. Although it does take a lot more time to compile.
I think I've only missed three in all that time. I remember missing one because we went on holiday, another one because we went on holiday, and one when I was down in my cousin's or something doing work for him. I think I've only missed three, maybe four I've missed, but certainly not many in a year and a half, so... I think I deserve my long service medal.
I agree.
Your long what?
I'm expecting my carriage clock to turn up anytime soon. That sounds like a polite version.
That's what I mean.
Who actually cares?
I know. Who are you? What have you done with Ben?
I know. That's
what I mean. He sounds so subdued.
Actually, it's funny because some of the early radio shows I used to do many, many years ago, I'm all very much like, hello, and here's another record. And then the later ones I was doing, I was like, oh, guys, let's play some tunes. Like, yeah. I did change my voice over time. I've got to say, it has been, you know, it's certainly taken up my time since I've been unemployed and given me something to do. I'll give you that much.
Yeah, just think what you, the thing you put on your CV and how it impressed your new employers.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely something there on my CD. That. Yeah, yes. Yeah, I've definitely put it on there, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
I think it's probably the first thing on my CV.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's been good fun. I've enjoyed my Monday mornings with my little gang of international Doctor Who spotters. It's been lovely conversing with you all and hearing your opinions. Most of your opinions are completely wrong, obviously. And
you know, like when we praise Ben, yeah, that's just
no. That's the right thing to be doing.
No, that must be wrong though. That's,
so everybody, does anybody have any particularly memorable, funny moments that Ben was involved in his time on the show? Because you lot, that's Reese and Robert.
Say everything.
Everything.
I have from episode 32 right up till now. They're the highlights.
So most memorable moments from then.
No, funny moments, not memorable moments.
Can't remember.
Oh, funny moments.
Been too many to mention.
No, I'm still stuck. I'm still stuck. No.
I'll tell you.
Go on then, Robert. Yeah.
When he said say goodbye. Control the wrong way, and I told him the right way to say it.
You told him to say penis patrol.
Yep.
You made that one up, did you? So what do you reckon that one then, Ben? It was actually Robert's idea.
I don't...
Is that a funny Ben moment? Oh.
Are you accusing me of being Stephen Moffat and nicking Doctor Who gags?
As usual,
we've gone
on 2 hours. I'm going to have to head out of here. No.
Well, I was supposed to have started cooking the dog's dinner 25 minutes ago, but that's the trouble being in Studio 1 and not Studio 2, which is next door to Studio 3, the kitchen.
I was meant to leave the podcast about 6 months ago, but I'm still here, mate.
Anyway, bye.
Bye, Robert. Sorry, Kirby.
See you, Kirby.
Bye, Kirby.
I'll speak to you sometime in the future, which actually won't seem like it's too much in the future because we've all got time machines that seem like it's tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have a good day at work. Bye.
Bye. Michael Gambon's character. Sorry, my computer suddenly started playing episode 32. Out of the blue.
Predictions about
Gambon. Oh, that sounds like Ben.
I don't know how long I'm
going
to last. I mean, I might not even make it to the end of the podcast.
No. Might not make it to the end of the podcast. That's what you said in episode 32. Yes! You want some more milk? Right, okay. Well, I'm going to finish in a minute. Sorry?
The podcast hasn't ended. We're still
Where's
going,
Kirby? So. Isabella just said, where's Kirby gone?
Work. Oh, my goodness. I've got to say words like work now.
Yeah. Anyway,
don't swear.
Right.
So thanks everybody, and thank you Ben for all your efforts over the last 100. Was it? 70 odd episodes.
70-80 odd podcasts. Yeah.
Good luck for next Monday.
And thank you very much.
Yes, have a lovely time, and of course, I look forward to your next appearance on the show, even though it won't be as regular as usual. And
going to become a semi-regular.
Hope it goes well, and I hope you don't get bored of it too quick.
No worries, thank you very much, and I'll no doubt see you in 6 weeks when I've got sacked.
Hope not. Alright, thanks everybody. And,
oh, you laugh now.
You lot, I'll see you next week.
Yes.
Bye.
Yes. Bye.
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 Doctor Who podcast is an APD 7. This production is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.